woman or a girl. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to the show. This is your host, Darren Jonathan, on the 30th of September 2018, and we're nearly on the last stretch towards the end of the year. I'm calling you now. I'm doing the show from the top of a hill in the bottom of Ireland, in a city called Cork. And what a beautiful city it is. And I'm sure you're all wondering, why am I on the top of the hill? And I'll definitely tell you why in a moment, but I think it's a good analogy, because what I want the show to be about, and what I hope it to be about, is for everyone to get a higher perspective of what's really going on in the world. Just with so much thrown at us, that I always use the analogy that we are like soldiers in the trenches when we need to be the generals on the hill and get a higher strategic view of what's happening in the world. So why am I calling you on a hill? Well, just as we speak, for those I've mentioned before, I'm in the Reserve Defence Force here in Ireland, and I'm literally within the last 5 minutes just finished up. So I have about four or five massive bags that I'm dragging around. So I'm doing the show in the middle of an old British military barracks that's now owned by the Irish Army. And I'm going on a PNCO course to become a corporal and to help train other people. You know, it's really interesting being in this old British barracks, because you can still see the, you know, the buildings are mostly haven't changed since the beginning of the last century. And it's interesting, I was thinking about it, that, you know, we have an Irish flag flying high, and we have, you know, our Gaelic in different sections of the barracks. It's a huge place. But underneath that, the system that was implemented before Britain left Ireland and we became a republic is still here. The same structures are still here. The same processes and procedures are somewhat still here. And that's pretty much the same throughout history. The system itself always updates and uses the old system as a foundation to create the new. And we adopt in old values and cultures. And also that leads us on to the future. And then we bring them with us, thinking that that's us, that that's a part of us. And sometimes we have to shed them old beliefs and look at history and reality, what it really is. I have brought out a section of my fellow comrades, I'll use the communist term, some of the guys here who were training in the barracks with me. And we went to see a film called Black 47, which I 100% recommend everyone check out. It's about set in the time of the Irish famine, which was really an orchestrated genocide of 1945. I think it's set 1845, set 2 years after, about a returning soldier from Ireland who fought with the British in the Connacht, and Connacht is a province of Ireland, just four provinces, and he returns home to find that his mother died, his brother was hanged, and he sees death and destruction everywhere, everyone's dying of hunger, and a brilliant film, Hugo, I can't remember his second name, but he's the man who played Neo in The Matrix, and Guy Fawkes as well. He was in it, a couple of great other actors were in it, and it's also an Australian actor was the main actor who portrayed an Irish man brilliantly, spoke with a brilliant Irish accent, and he also spoke Gaelic, because there's a lot of Gaelic in the film with subtitles. It's a very, very historically accurate film. It starts off with this lieutenant police officer interrogating what was once known as the Young Irelanders, these young rebellious group in the 18th century looking for unified Ireland to leave Britain. So it was a very turmoil time. And there's a lot of phrases in the film. I 100% recommend you check out the trailer and try and get your hands on the film. It's still in cinema, so try and get your hands on it whatever way you can. just to get a glimpse into what actually happened. The movie itself was spectacular because to use phrases like taking the soup, and in Ireland, the phrase came for once the famine set in. Well, it was only a famine because the Irish were only allowed to grow one crop while the rest was shipped out in train loads and bucket loads to defeat the rest of Britain. Ireland was actually the food basket of the rest of Britain, and it actually makes hints to that in Ireland in the movie, where there's stores and stores of grain being kept, and yeah, very similar to what happened in Ukraine with the kind of forced genocide that they call a famine there. But the phrase taking the soup meant that if you wanted to feed yourself, these people would go to soup kitchens. But in order for you to get the soup, you had to convert from Catholicism to Protestantism, just in order to get the soup. And they make references to that in the movie. And I found it to be absolutely spectacular that they actually made a reference to this. But yeah, it was a very striking time to be in. People were hung for speaking Irish and not speaking Gaelic because they tried to eradicate the language. And that's the very similar, what you could call it, the colonial British process, was to go in to remove the language from the people, make it illegal to speak it. They did the same in Scotland, they did the same, I'm sure, in America with the Native Indians. And wherever the system goes, it implements the same strategies along the way. What's also very interesting about the film was the phrase, he took the king's shilling. So a lot of Irish men were looked down upon for fighting in the British army. This phrase was, he took the king's shilling, as a shilling was a name of a piece of one of the currencies, like you'd have a pound or a dollar, you'd have a shilling. It was a brilliant film. For me, it was pretty patriotic because I'm kind of on duty this weekend, so I got to feel a bit of patrioticism. And I think, you know, it's in tribally based in us, with the flag is flying. You know, when I was looking at the Irish flag as I was flying the mast today when we were on parade, and all the commands in Irish Army are done in Gaelic. So there's a deep sense of tribalism there and a deep sense of belonging that I feel. But then at the same time, I do see the mask of it. I know that system was kind of given to me. I know the flag was given to me. I never, you know, it's not really the true Republican flag. It's green, white, and gold to symbolize different things. And it's all symbolic and Masonic. And there's all these gestures, especially in the army. It's very Masonically driven. But at the same time, underneath that, I still find a bit of pride. And I took meaning away from that myself. Now, I'm coming to you from a mobile phone, guys, so please, I want to apologise for maybe the sound of the quality. Again, I'm literally just got off. So I was going to do a pre-recorded show, but I thought I'd do it on the fly, give you a view from down here in beautiful green Ireland. I don't really know of another green country. Maybe Seattle. The state of Seattle is very similar to Ireland. But yeah, guys, I'd love to hear you today. I know we have a few regular callers to call in. And I'm going to give out that number now for you to call in. Again, I just want to point out that this show is possible from you, the listeners. This radio station exists because of you, the listeners. It's one of the very few flagship stations actually left that promotes alternative thinking. And without your support to the RBN network, this would cease to exist. So honestly, I want to thank everyone here for doing that, and I think everyone should be proud of being able to keep this alive and keep it strong and keep it growing. So the number to call in is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'd love to hear your thoughts of what's going on today with you. You know, it's interesting because we're all from different parts of the world, and we all feel a sense of tribalism when they wave a certain flag, they play a national anthem. We feel a deep tingling in ourselves. And it's normal to feel, and at times it's very right to feel. But I also think you should be aware that that was a system that you were given, that you accepted without beknownst to yourself. Yes, you can use it to your advantage, but you have to understand that it was a system given to you. So when people fight on about a time that was, you know, You might find in America it's the 1776, or in Ireland it's 1916, the 1916 rising. We have these ideals, and a lot of times these ideals were never there, and the system was given to us. The one thing Britain did better than most countries was every time it left a new country it conquered, it left the same system in place. The same system was still in place. So when it left Ireland, it left the same judicial system to a certain extent in place, and it left a lot of customs in place. So now we kind of self-manage that system and added our own adaptations to it. The same can be said for Gandhi. Gandhi did something the British Empire tried for years to do and couldn't succeed, which was unify India. And it took an Oxford-trained man like Gandhi to unify an entire country and do something the British never do, because in the act of persuasion, you can do things overtly and you can do things covertly. Doing things overtly, like in Ireland at the time of, let's say, the famine, you know, the army went in, it was used by force, it was the force, it was the stick that was forced upon the people of Ireland. And we did capitulate, but it always, that form of control always spurs hatred and resentment within the local population. And the true mastery of it is when you can do things overtly. So when people here, or in any ex-colonial country, just take on the past systems that were in place, it can now they think it's theirs, and they'll actually grow it themselves and sustain it themselves, but never really thinking that it was, always thinking it was originally theirs when it wasn't. The same can be said to some extent to America as well, as the rest of the world. And that's what colonial did. The British Empire did the same thing as the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire stopped trying to control things through force, and it receded its armies, but then it controlled things by the mind with Hello, can you hear me now? Sorry guys, I cut off there. Irish weather is pretty unpredictable. If anyone ever visits Ireland, you can always find out that we get four seasons in one. Right now it was sunny 10 minutes ago, and now I feel a strong breeze and probably rain coming, but that's just what happens when you're in Ireland. And I was saying on the point that the Roman Empire conquered by the sword, and then it changed to conquer by the mind, and it conquered by the mind with the cross, and it spread to more countries than the Roman Empire, the Roman army, could ever could, because control of the mind is more powerful than control of the body. And you'll always find that once the system comes into place, it will control by the body first, using force and army to implement the system, destroy the foundations of the old religion, the old customs, the old institutions, build on them the foundations of a new institution, and then control by the mind. And then what happens is it gives over that system to the people who the thought were fighting against the system to adopt it into their own. And essentially, they would anglicize the local population to perpetuate the system on behalf of themselves. And in Ireland, you know, even me saying that causes a stir of emotion, because I don't want to believe it. I want to believe that we had something, and we did, you know, they had to incorporate it into the same system. The same happened in America with that system there. Again, guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts. It's a pretty open show today. I have a bit of news I want to touch on. Again, I have been watching recently this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing from across the seas here, and it's amazing how when I first heard about this news come out, I knew what was going to happen. Once they place this information out into the mainstream, it doesn't matter about the facts. the information has spread, and now you're on the defensive. If anyone wants a really great book on this, it's Trust Me, I'm Lying, The Confessions of a Media Manipulator by Ryan Holiday. And Ryan Holiday goes into this type of strategy where what he did to promote a book, and the book was by a guy called Tucker Max. I Hope to Serve Beer in Hell is the name of the book, and it's a pretty funny book. It's about his kind of antics as a young college guy. So obviously it's a bit sexually explicit and, you know, that kind of nature. But he wanted to promote this book. So what he did was, and it's very smart, again, this is the level of deception that we can get into in the world, that people can fall into, is there was a big billboard of this book, and someone got up there. It was actually himself. He got up there and spray painted on this billboard, got down, he took a photo of this billboard. Now, this book is about 10 years old. So he went onto a feminist website and posted it as if he was a woman feminist, giving out about this misogynistic book. And he ended up, what happened from there was he sent that picture of him posting on this message board. He sent that to a low-level newspaper in the local area. They picked up the story. From there, he shared that with a bigger major network. They also picked up the story. And before long, he helped organize, help these feminists organize a march against this book. And all that happened with this book is the sales of the book skyrocketed. And that was his main plan as a marketer and a publisher for this guy. Genius, if you think about it, as a marketing tool, but very scary to hear about it as it's portrayals to how we see the media today. So this news that came out about Brett Kavanaugh, from my understanding, allegations of him of rape, all it takes is an allegation to be posted on one critical enough website for it to catch fire, because by the time it does come out that he is innocent, the idea has already sticked in the mind of people that he's guilty, or that at least he is on the defensive, so there must be something wrong here. And it's a completely Machiavellian way of to bring someone down. And what's even more scary, and what's interesting, I heard it being said this weekend during my training, was one of the sergeants said he was talking about in classroom how, you know, everyone's kind of feeling the pressure of being PC and not wanting to speak out. And this means we're in the most dangerous time ever. If we cannot speak out and people around us are questioning themselves, and it becomes so intrusive into the mind of an individual that I even catch myself doing it, where I'm changing the words in maybe a text message I'm writing because I don't want to cause offense, and I catch myself doing it. As I catch myself in the midst of the propaganda that's even worked on me. And as you know yourself, as an educated listener and a very independent thinker, these ideas will seep in so deep that it becomes very hard to root them out, and you have to cut them off at the curve. So I really do feel like we're heading into the last times, but I suppose also the great fight of liberty and freedom, not now on a national basis, but on an international scale, on a global scale. It's no longer fighting for your country's freedom, for individual liberty, like we would have done here in Ireland or in America. It's time now to start fighting for international freedom and, you know, a global individuality. So let's touch back in the break. I hope we can hear some callers. And it's Darren Jonathan here on the top of a hill in Cork, and I'll see you at the other side of the break.
Man made the boat for the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In the merry month of June, from me home I started, left the girls of June. Nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear. Kiss me darling mother, drank a pint of beer. Me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn. Leave where I was born, cut to stout back torn. To banish ghosts and goblins, a brand new pair of brogues. Rattling o'er the bogs, frightening all the dogs. On the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Put the hare and turn her down the rocky road. All the way to Dublin, whack full ollie ride. In Mullingar that night I rested limp so weary, started by daylight, me spirits bright, and ere he took a drop of the pure, keep me heart from sinking, that's the Paddy's cure, whenever he's on for drinking, to see the lassie smile, laughing all the while, at me curious style, to set your heart to pulling, and asked if I was hard, wages I required, till I was nearly tired of the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, put the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack full ollie ride. In Dublin next arrived, I thought it such a pity to be so soon deprived of view of that fine city. Well then I took a stroll, all among the quality bundle it was stole, all in the neat.
I'd run the rocky road, the very rocky road to Dublin. Joe's views just joined us. It's your host here, Jaron Jonathan, and I am doing the show on outside on the top of a hill in Cork City, in the army barracks down here in Collins Army Barracks, named after the great Irish leader Michael Collins, who helped free Ireland and was subsequently assassinated. And there's a very conspiratorial story around that. What's interesting was I was talking to some of my friends here in the barracks, some of the soldiers I was with. We were talking about Ireland's interesting history during World War II. And for most people, they don't really know that Ireland was actually neutral during World War II. It didn't fight on the sides of either either the Allies or the Axis powers, it decided to opt out and not be a part of the war. But subsequently enough, it did lend a lot of hand, obviously, to the Allies, but it wanted to appear on the surface that it was neutral. And what's very interesting about the whole neutrality story, because again, Ireland was just a free republic just a few years before this broke out, World War II, and everyone being somewhat anti-British didn't want to go fight Britain's war. We kind of wanted to just be at peace for now. And Ireland sacrificed a lot for that, because De Valera, who was the Prime Minister, or what we would call a Taoiseach in Ireland, for the Gaelic, he was in touch with Churchill, who said that if Ireland joins the war, after the war, Ireland can have all of the counties back, Northern Ireland included. But De Valera decided to stay out of the war. He declared a national emergency in Ireland during the duration of the war. And he also set up POW camps for both sides of the Axis and the Allies. So anytime a downed pilot would land in Ireland, they would be brought straight to a POW camp. And there's a fantastic film people should check out. It's called The Brill Cream Boys. The Brill Cream Boys. And maybe I can get the producer there to play the trailer, maybe coming in after the next break. I'll try and find it. But it's called The Brill Cream Boys. It's made in 1998, and it's about a downed Canadian pilot who lands in Ireland, and he's taken to a POW camp. And inside this POW camp, and one of them was in the Curragh, in the middle of Ireland, you had the Americans, the British, the Canadians, all put in one side of the camp, and then the Germans, the Nazis, were put in the other side of the camp. And this is crazy, because this is during World War II. Now, obviously, they're all fed, and what's really interesting about it, they all got wages, and they were given a day pass. So they were allowed to walk outside of this prison, go into the local town and drink. They were even brought to see races for horses, which was in the Curragh, which is crazy. So can you imagine being a pilot in the American Air Force or in the Canadian Air Force, and now you're in a POW camp with your enemy across the cage, and you're all going to drink beer in a local bar that you're let walk out. It's pretty insane if you think about it, but that's typically an Irish person. We kind of jump into the middle. We don't really want to get involved, so we just kind of want everyone to get along. And what's really interesting about these POW camps in Ireland is the Germans would prefer, once they were shot over England and they were going down, they couldn't make it, they knew they weren't going to make it back to Germany, they would purposely fly to Ireland to land, because they knew their treatment would be much better there. And unfortunately for the British, or the Americans, and also the Canadian POWs, they weren't allowed to get back. Because for the Germans, they were very safe in Ireland, because there was no way to get back to Germany through Ireland. They'd have to go through Britain, and that was a kind of a bad thing to do for them at the time. So a lot of these people would just stay around and hang around in Ireland. And then for the British people, there was a lot of transport, per se, near the end of the war, that they were let to go up to Northern Ireland to then get into the military, the UK military through then. But for most of the part, were kept in Ireland along with the enemy and kind of forced to go hang out with them, which is kind of funny. And there's a movie that portrays this very well. It's called The Brill Cream Boys. Maybe we can get the producer to play a trailer soon, maybe during after one of the breaks. But what's also interesting about Ireland is Hitler's brother actually lived in Ireland and met an Irish woman and married one and had a kid called William Patrick Hitler. And we'll talk about the interesting story of the Irish Hitler just after we come back from this break.
What did happen? Nothing! Not one little thing! Without a woman or a girl.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
And it's no, nay, never. Don't, nay, never, no more will I play the wild rover. No, never, no more. I've been a wild rover for many a year. Spent all my money on whiskey and beer. And now I'm returning with gold in great store. I never will play the wild rover no more. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I
by quickly, and I have to say I am a bit of a wild rover. I do think there's a bit of a wild rover in all of us. I actually was just talking about a movie from 1998 called The Brill Cream Boys, and I'm going to try and see if we can get the producer to play the trailer for you. But it's basically about how Ireland was neutral during World War II and set up POW camps for the Allies and Axis powers. And what happens was all these people were put into the same camp, treated extremely well. They even had day passes to go out at night and go to the local bar, because Ireland was an island, so there wasn't really any escaping unless you walked all the way to Northern Ireland. So what was interesting, if you can imagine being let's say an American soldier, you end up getting shot over the Atlantic, you crash land in Ireland, and now you're being brought to a POW camp with the same Germans you were fighting, and you're forced to go to a local bar to drink with them. So let's try and get this trailer played up. So Brill Cream Boys, just for the spelling and my pronunciation here, is B-R-Y L. Cream, C-R-E-E-M, Boys, and it's a film from 1998. So let's see if we can get the trailer playing.
In 1941, there were worse places to spend the rest of the war.
Good morning, gentlemen. As uniformed combatants captured in a neutral country, I'm afraid this is where you're going to be spending the rest of the war.
With comfortable rooms.
Pretty slick, huh?
Entertainment.
Good shot.
And an open bar.
We're allowed out on day passes.
Day passes?
Mm-hmm. You see, the boys promised me that they'll be back in the evening time if they give me their word of honor.
Their only inconvenience.
What is up with a bloody Jew?
Was the neighbors. Now two men on different sides are fighting for the same thing. Gabriel Byrne.
You look like a man who could use a drink.
Bill Campbell.
I volunteered to fight, not park my ass in Ireland.
William McNamara.
Auf Wiedersehen, Wiener Schnitzel!
I 100% agree.
And introducing Gene Butler.
For its historical reference.
The Brill Cream Boys. The only way to make people stay.
Just how funny it is. It's worth checking out. It's very Irish in nature how we would be in general. We don't really take sides. We just want, you know, we try to see things as we are. We have a caller on the line. Just before I go to the caller, I was just touching upon a famous Hitler that many people don't really know about. His name was William Patrick Hitler, and he was the son of Adolf Hitler, and I can't pronounce her name off the top of my head, but she was an Irish woman from Dublin, and Adolf Hitler was a half-brother of Hitler who moved to Ireland to work in a hotel that's still there today. Met this young lady that had a kid named Patrick William Hitler. They moved to Liverpool. And then William Patrick Hitler actually went to Germany once Hitler came to power, worked for him for quite a time, and I think he's seen how bad things were getting. He left, and William Patrick Hitler actually tried to join the British Army and wasn't allowed to join. And he actually ended up joining the American Army, and they used him as a propaganda tool. Of course, it's which makes sense. You have Hitler's nephew fighting on the Allies side, and he is responsible for the last line of Hitler's. His kids right now won't have children, and they've changed their name, and they're trying to let that side of the family die out. So, interesting story. Typically Irish. We were joking about it in the local mess area last night about these funny coincidences. So we have Sherry on the line. Sherry, are you there?
Hey, hello there.
How are you, Sherry?
It's your name. Oh, I'm fine. Is your first name Aaron or Darren or?
It's Darren or Darren, yeah. as you Americans like to say.
Okay. What was the name of that first movie you mentioned?
Black 47. That's Black 47.
Okay. Okay, I got a joke for you. Maybe you can explain the cultural differences.
Sure.
Okay. Two Scots, two Irish, two Welsh, and two Englishmen were marooned on an island. By the end of 2 months, the two Scots had started a bank, the two Irish had started a fight, the two Welsh had started a choir, and the two Englishmen had not introduced themselves to each other. And this was told in a sermon by a preacher I was listening to. I believe he's Scottish.
As a kid, my grandfather used to tell me so many of these an Irishman, a Welshman, and a Scotsman walk into the bar jokes, and I can't remember any of them. Sherry, what's going on with you on this glorious Sunday?
Oh, it's finally cooled off here in Kansas, and I've been doing some gardening for a fall garden. It'll be about a month before, or a little more before we get a hard frost, but I can plant some fall crops or fall garden stuff. Think about building a greenhouse.
I think it's something very, very important about getting back to nature. Sherry, would you, as regards to, I've never been to Kansas, but what's it like nowadays with the turmoil that's going on in the news? What are you overhearing? What's the local conversations like now?
Well, I don't get out a whole lot. But Kansas is a pretty Republican state. You know, there's so much so that, you know, it's, personally, I think all the voting is corrupt, and we can't get anybody on the ballot that, you know, not with one of the two major parties. They make it hard as heck to put somebody on, just an independent, you know. And I don't think things are ever going to change in our country, because, you know, now we have this thing called where corporations can, or, you know, and tax and stuff can literally buy off a you know, give so much money to a candidate that if they get elected, they don't pay attention to the little people. So they're not really representing us. They're representing the corporations. And consequently, you know, we can't have any say with what's going
on. So what do you think of this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing that's been happening recently?
You know, to me, I listen to a lot of legal shows on my satellite. That's how I'm listening to you. And, you know, the whole thing about the Supreme Court, you know, nothing in our Constitution says they're the final say. It's an opinion. You know, they always write opinions. But our legal system has such a stranglehold, you know, and it, of course, it comes from the British legal system mainly, you know, and it's...
Yeah, you know, what I find interesting, and thanks very much for the call, Sherry, is I was saying at the start of the, and I hope you have I hope the gardening comes along good, but I was saying at the start of the show how on one side, I do be pretty torn, and that's why I consider myself kind of a centralist, because I do try to see the positives and the negative. And even though we've adopted the British system, it did give rise to the form of individuality through Christianity. So there's always a good, I think, that can come out of a bad. But at the same time, what happens is we get locked into two different sides all the time, and it happens in the truth movement more than people realize. Is you get out of politics, and rightfully so, and then you get into the truth movement, and then there's all these other pockets and holes designed for you to step into, and groups there ready to go for you to fall trap and to fall prey in. And I think what we see on the mainstream is with the left and right politics of Republican or Democrat, as you would say in America, we have our own covert versions of that within the truth movement, and the, all sides like this exist in all industries, in all places, that there's never just two sides to an argument. There's usually four sides, or there's a side to each side, and I think a lot of times we miss that. So you're on the money. I don't think there's anything wrong with what you're doing by opting out of the system. And, you know, you're probably right not to engage in the conversation when it comes to the local population.
Well, you know, if you try to start a group to get something done on the local level, because to me, you know, that's where you're really going to make a difference, is if you get something done on the local level. Although, you know, you've got to worry about, you know, them sending infiltrators in to screw it up. And, you know, you see that all the time.
And what's even interesting is, I think, not a lot of times they're not even infiltrators, they're just people been, you could say, given the wrong information, and they're willing to push their side of the agenda through. And I've seen this happen myself. I was in a troop movement in Ireland when I first got into this whole thing. They talked about common law and how it's not the real law and how it's admirable law. And they're right. They're very correct in what they're saying, but it's a battle that's not worth fighting. It's a battle that, for me, is a distraction from what that's really there, which is the ultimate truth. And I could see how people unwittingly just kept going down the same path and bringing all their followers with them.
So how do you, so what are you, in your 30s?
I'm 28. I was about to say I'm still in my youth, I was going to say, but I don't feel it.
So other than the people you train with, how do you feel about people of your own age and how they, you know, how knowledgeable are they about how things really are, as at least how you see them?
The biggest problem with my generation is they think they know everything, and they know bits and bytes of information. So they'll listen to podcasts and they'll watch documentaries, but there's no real depth to the information they've learned. You can, and what's worse is it makes them more ideological about their opinions, because if they really understood their opinions and beliefs to its fullest, you usually shed them, and usually you don't need to prattle on about them. I would find myself a bit of a contrarian about my beliefs. I would, an example would be, just yesterday, we were talking about republicanism and Ireland after we watched this movie, because it would make you pretty anti-British, obviously, when you see the movie. 100% recommended everyone watch it. I guess it's our version of the Patriot. It would stir republicanism in you. But then, as that was going on, we're having that argument. I meant a joke about, well, like, you know, lads, we're on a old British barracks, so didn't do too bad for us. And I think with my generation, the problem is they're listening to bits and bytes of information, and there's no real depth of learning. So they're more opinionated than ever, and that's the biggest problem, because now they're not really willing to listen to people who are older, who have much, much, much more experience and depth of learning to share. So that's probably my two cents,
you know,
on them.
On a family level, I noticed my son and, you know, with myself, that you have to be in like your late 20s, usually, before you finally think that, well, maybe my parents do something. But
I heard that funny quote. I think it's an American quote. It's where you turn 30 and then you're Republican.
Well, and,
you pay taxes and then you're Republican.
I think that a young person might listen more to their, and I found this with myself, listen more to their grandparents than their parents. And I could really talk to my grandpa, and I was really interested in how things were when he was growing up and stuff. And just because you're, I guess it's because like your parents are, have to be an authoritarian, and they can't really be your friend, but of course, your grandparents get to spoil you and negate all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
You know, I was thinking about that recently. My grandfather had a massive impact on me, and it wasn't that common in most countries up until the last century, where your grandparents lived with you. They lived in the same house, or when they got older, they moved in. And, you know, the idea of grandparents was they were to parent the parents. You know, they were there to make sure, and I would see it happen in my own home when I was a kid, where If someone was, you know, one of the parents was maybe getting a bit out of hand, the grandparents would step in and it'd keep them in check. And it also gave the grandparents, now their job of parenting was over, so they could actually be there as guides to their grandchildren, you know. And I think we're losing that connection of later generations, even down to the great grandparents, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's a shame. But
it is a shame, but all we can do is set an example going forward. So
okay.
I just want to thank you for calling in. We're gonna go to the next caller, and I'll play Black 47's trailer on the next segment.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back. That's another quick hour gone by, and we have, is it John on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having
John,
me on.
John, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm sitting on the grass at the moment, praying that it doesn't rain, but it's in Ireland, so it probably will rain.
It probably
How are you doing
will.
Today, John?
Good. You were mentioning the neutrality of Ireland during World War II, and officially that's the case, but you had grandparents and living with you, you know that the fact that the Irish used Molotov cocktails to light up British ports when German bombers were coming in order to aid the attack in the British ports. So while the official status might have been neutrality, in fact, there were many patriotic Irish that wanted to see Britain eviscerated by the German bombers.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a very interesting fact, because Ireland was pretty divided, and you have to understand the time we were in, because at that time in Ireland, and in that time of the war, what was happening to the Jews didn't actually come out up until much later in the war. And you had a lot of people in Ireland
to be fair, if I can interject, the Holocaust scenario, I don't buy at all. Not at all, because it's not supported by fact and evidence, and we can go deeper into that if you want, but I don't buy the narrative, because it's a narrative that aids the
what
you're doing right
what
now,
I will
including the Kavanaugh
hearing. I'll play a devil's advocate, and I'll be a centralist on this, is I read a great book called The Bloodlands, which was the majority of the murders and killing happened in between Poland. Let's not talk just about the concentration camps itself for Jews, but the millions that were murdered and executed by the Germans and the Soviets at the same time. So I guess what I was just trying to say is at that time of the war, there was nothing that came out about anything as that regard.
Well, but so, if you remember, a German by the name of Ernst Zungel had written several books and spent many years in jail just for writing books to show that the whole Holocaust and so-called concentration camp narrative is completely false. And to keep it really simple, the absolute truth does not require a law to prevent its disclosure. It would be like someone screaming the sun doesn't rise in the east and set in the west. You don't need a law for a lunatic screaming that in the street. You do need a law, however, if the narrative is false, and you need to maintain the narrative in order to benefit a certain class of people that do benefit from that uber victim narrative.
Well, you know, I don't know if I can agree on that, because in Ireland we banned so many books that blasphemy law was only we had a blasphemy law up until a few years ago, actually only up until very recently, and we've had many books from many famous prominent authors in literature, Irish authors at that, just banned. John, hold on the line. I think I hear the music coming
sure.
in, and we'll touch base.
Absolutely,
on the next
yeah.
part.
Like Noah made the ark, this is a man's world. But a woman made nothing. Not a woman on the and a baby boys. Man make them happy, 'cause man make them toys. And after man make everything he can, you know that man makes money.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.